Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Contending for Truth Radio in this special broadcast of Politics and Religion. Don't tell me that I can't mix them. This show was actually kind of put together rather quickly. We had a guest that had to postpone to another week back out. And so Common Core right now is a very hot topic. It's a very important topic. It's about the future of our country and about the future of the education of our generations ahead. About parental sovereignty. It's about the right of the parent to teach unhindered by the schools, the worldview that they believe, the religion that they believe. It's about a whole large range of issues that are affecting our country this day. And tonight we've brought together a great group of people to sit down and discuss it. We didn't really go into an introduction last week of how this show came to fruition, and I do want to take a couple of moments and do that. 2 years ago, I voted. 2 years ago, I went online and I argued with people in the comment section of news articles. 2 years old, I sat with people that disagreed with me one-on-one, and I talked politics. Since I was 16 years old, I've never been afraid to stand up and say what I believe and talk about what I believe and the basics that I believe in. 2 years ago, Herman Cain changed my life. I jumped on the Herman Cain train, and I became, he slowly but surely turned me into an activist. And long after he left, and he's been gone for a while from what we were doing at the time, but I walked away with a lot of great friends. I walked away with a large understanding of social networking. And I walked away with an old blog talk radio show called Conservatives Coast to Coast on the underground hard drive that we do each Monday, 2 hours from this time. We started out that show as Cain Coast to Coast. I was the state leader for Team Cain in California. John Grooms, our Maine Coast host, was the state leader for Maine. Steve Williams and Bob Green from Wisconsin. And for 2 years now on that show, we've been discussing politics. We've been interviewing candidates and activists and discussing the issues of the day. We've never been afraid to take and put a basis of faith underneath what we said. So that stemmed this program, which started last week with Neil Mammon, this new program, Politics and Religion. Don't tell me that I can't mix them. And so tonight we're going to discuss one of those issues. You know, the basis for why we are conservatives is ground up in some very basic reasoning. I'm a Frederick Douglass Republican because I believe and I know that a large, huge bureaucracy is never any good. It's never functional. It's always chaotic at solving problems. Where a smaller, organization is a lot better. So I don't agree with large government. I don't agree with our federal government taking over everything and controlling everything. I believe it's not the best way to go, even if you do have good solutions. I believe it's better to be on a local scale. I believe there's a creator to all this. I believe that human life is precious. I believe a lot of basic things, and they are why I call myself a conservative. One of those reasons is parental sovereignty. One of those reasons is religious sovereignty. This country was built on the concept that we were tired of being told what we could say and not say in the churches, that we needed some place to go where we would be free to worship as we see fit. So we founded this great nation, and today, 225, 30 years later, we're sitting at a place where we have to worry about our religious freedom. We're at a place where we have to worry about the religion that we teach in our homes. We have to worry about what our schools are teaching our kids. We have to worry about whether they're telling our kids your mom and dad are stupid if they're telling you there's a God. We have to worry about a school system where they're wanting to take and data mine all of our information and start a from cradle to grave information database on each one of us, and they want to start in the schools. There's a lot that's involved in this topic that we're going to discuss tonight. It's a discussion that starts tonight and is going to continue on. From this, we are going to stem a new show here in a couple of weeks, a weekly show, where we're going to discuss parental sovereignty. We're going to discuss Common Core. We're going to discuss the things that the left side really, really would like to throw at us to take away our parental rights, to take away the sovereignty that we've got as an individual, the sovereignty that we've got raising children in our home, and the sovereignty we've got behind our pulpits. It all goes together. As if you've never looked and heard about Common Core, maybe this is the first time you've ever heard about it. Maybe you've heard, maybe just all good things, that this, you know, it's just going to be a way to really kind of straighten some things out. Well, I would beg you to start here and listen further. The group of people that we have gathered here tonight are not experts on Common Core. That's not the purpose tonight. The purpose tonight is to start a dialogue. With us this evening, we've got a good dear friend of mine, Jennifer Montrose. Jennifer and I were on that cane train together, and we've done a lot of projects together, and I'm so honored to call her friend. She's one of the most hardworking people I know. You know, she's in Alabama time, and I'm in California time, and it is not a rare occurrence for 1 o'clock in the morning my time for her to pop in and say, "Are you busy? I need some help." And so I want to welcome Jennifer Montrose here. We've also got Jenny Gallegos here, who I have just gotten to know in the last few days. We're in a group. We're in a powerful group getting ready to march the fight against Common Core. We've also got Stacy here with us. Now, Stacy, I love your name because my sister's name is Stacy. And when I say your name, I have a hard time with that. But it's Stacy Tawbush, and she's in Alabama also. And while we're on that subject, let's talk about Alabama for a minute, because I'm going to tell you, Alabama is rocking this country right now. They're fighting Common Core. They're fighting it hard, and they're fighting a lot of things in this country. They're leading our nation right now. So I'm honored to have not just one, but two people representing Alabama tonight. And then, of course, Jennifer Gallegos is up in Oregon, and I am out in California, so we're represented. As you are listening, if you're listening live and you would like to call in on Blog Talk Radio and join the conversation, you can call us in at 347-205-9620. That's 347-205-9620. If you're in the chat room and you've got anything that you want to say but don't necessarily want to call in, feel free to throw that in there. I've got my 10-year-old niece manning the board right now. Her name is Serena, and she's going to do a beautiful job tonight, and she will let me know if you've got a question in there. And say hi real quick, Serena.
Hi.
All right. And with no further ado, we're going to get into this topic. And I want us to start out really, I'm a big picture kind of guy. Jennifer Montrose, a few months back, sent me a speech that Governor Jindal had done. And he started out his speech saying, I'm a big picture kind of guy. And I'm that way, too. When I approach political, when I approach biblical, or even parenting skills, I always look at the big picture first. And the big picture around Common Core is parental sovereignty. There are certain rights that we have in our home. There are certain rights that we have by God on how to raise our children. There are certain rights that we have to keep our government and their nose out of our rights to raise our children. Common Core, at its purpose, is designed to erode parental sovereignty. Now, you may hear people say, well, but it's really good at this, and it's going to help that, and it's fixing that. All of that is all red herrings. Because, you see, you can have any kind of a bad situation. You can have any kind of bad solution that solves problems because it's got some good in it. Everything's got a little bit of good in it. But we're going to look back. We're going to stand back and look at some of the issues that are related to Common Core. We're going to look at how they affect parental sovereignty. And we're going to discuss how important it is to have that sovereignty. You know, I work really, really hard to teach my three nieces. One's 10, almost 11. One is 7, and one is 4. And it's very important that I have the right to teach them a correct worldview. It's my right to teach them that as I look at the oak tree, I know that there has to be a creator behind it. And it is not the right of the school to infringe upon that. And we've got a lot of solutions plan, and we're going to discuss solutions at the end of the show. But right now, I want to start at the basics. I want to start at parental sovereignty. What are our rights? What do we have? And what is Common Core trying to take away of those rights? So we're going to have a roundtable discussion. I'm going to say a couple more words, and then I'm going to pass it on to Jennifer Montrose and let her comment a little bit, and then we'll pass it on to keep the two Jennifers separated, because we have two Jennifers tonight. One we're going to call Jenny. We're going to call Jenny Gallegos. And we'll just make the order, Jennifer Montrose, Stacy, and then Jenny, and then we'll come back around to me, and we'll just continue to go on that way. So with that, I want to welcome Jennifer Montrose. Jennifer, you know how I feel about you. You're a hard worker. We communicate on a daily basis, working on many different things, and you are a go-getter. And I want you to tell me what your fears are. What do you fear? You know enough about Common Core. You've been looking at Common Core, you and Stacy, a lot longer than Jennifer and I have, so we're going to rely on you for some of the more information. But Jennifer, as you said, as a mother in Alabama with your son, and you look at Common Core, where does it really scare you?
Can you hear me? Hello, Scott?
Hey, you're there, Jennifer.
Okay, great. I will tell you the thing that scares me is I remember Schoolhouse Rock when I was growing up as a kid. If you can picture in your mind, Saturday morning cartoons. And that was one of the ways that I learned the preamble. The thing that scares me is that the very valuable pieces of information that formed this great nation of ours, this history that we as adults know about, that our children are going to eventually not be taught the very things that brought America to be what it is. And eventually, as we just keep omitting that stuff in our, textbooks, in our schools, once we die off, then what are they going to learn? They're going to learn what the Common Core standards are teaching us. And it is just ridiculously scary to me to think that in the third grade to the fifth grade, if you can teach a child certain things in elementary school, it'll stick with them. And I don't want my son, he's just turned 11 yesterday, I don't want my son coming home from school reading books instead of See Spot Run, those kinds of things that we went through as a kid. I don't want to see him growing up learning that what I teach him as a Christian, that the school books are telling him that it's because we have to accommodate the way that our society is living now, that it's about mommy and mommy and daddy and daddy. And, you know, I am not by any means putting down people that live that lifestyle. You know, I'm not, I've got friends, you know, but what I'm saying is that I just don't think that it has a place. That's your personal preference, you know, but I want to ensure that my child is getting a good, solid education. I want to see a very, very good, solid education. And the things that are being discussed now, it's like people in America that are involved in all this are trying to turn us into the country of France. And it just scares me, you know, that this is going to be the next, what's going to be in store for the next generation. And, you know, education is the key. Frederick Douglass talked about it. You know, he grew up not having the right to a free education. And, if the government can control what our kids are taught, if I don't have the right, if I'm homeschooling, you know, I can teach them whatever, you know, I choose to. But when it comes to the college entrance exams, what are they going to be told that they have to know? It's all going to be Common Core standard information. And people say, well, you know, on the surface, it doesn't look too bad. But what they don't realize is the people that they're indoctrinating to learn and teach this stuff don't even realize what they're teaching. It's this, it's a media propaganda battle that we're having to fight. And to me, this is no different than the, it may sound like I'm being a conspiracy theorist, but you know, I saw the movie, the little boy in the striped pajamas, and he saw the eyes of a 9-year-old, you know, living in Germany around the Holocaust era, you know, trying to befriend a Jewish boy. And, you know, if the government can dictate what you learn, then they can control how much information you know about what really is going on around them. You know, there are people now that are preparing, you know, to be prepared for government world takeover. And they're trying, people that are fighting to keep this nation, you know, sovereign, one nation under God. And when I was a kid, you know, saying the Pledge of Allegiance was, you just didn't disrespect it. But now I hear of people that are being asked, you know, when they're doing, you know, projects to draw a flag and stomp on it. You know, I'm just like, what happened to the respect for our founding fathers? Our founding fathers fought hard, you know, and I want to see that my child and his children get an opportunity to carry on that same legacy and learn what it is that we fought so hard for. Otherwise, somebody is going to eventually take our Constitution, rip it up. And when we no longer have right to the Second Amendment, the First Amendment, you know, those things get stripped from us, you know, it scares me. I want my son to have the same opportunities that I had growing up, you know, and that's why we have so many people that are trying to get to America, because we offer the land of freedom, you know, and we have a government now that wants to strip us of it. And so it's up to us to educate, to be well-informed. We don't need to sit in front of our TVs. We need to get involved and engage in our PTO meetings and be asking these questions. What do you mean by this? Because even the teachers, there's even teachers that don't even realize what they're teaching. They're so blindsided by this because of this propaganda that's out there. And so it's going to take us as parents, and that's the reason that I got involved in a mission to educate to educate, and politically agitate, is because if we don't get off of our couches and get out of our social media places and go out in our communities and have dialogue with other parents and other people, you know, in our communities, we're going to lose it. We're going to lose this great nation. And so I am not willing to sit and let this, you know, pass me by. I want my son to have those same freedoms that I have.
Well, and Jennifer, that's the key to all this. It really is, because we're not going to win this in the media. We're NBC's not going to report on this. We know that. In fact, the conservatives aren't even really super reporting on this. We've got a few that are jumping on. The momentum in the last 6 weeks since I found out about this is just growing exponentially, and I think you probably agree with me, Jennifer. It's bigger than anything we ever saw in the working for Herman Cain. But it is. It's key. We're going to have to get to the people on this. We've got to get to the masses. We got to sit down and explain to our neighbors, here's the problem with this. We've already got a caller called in on 360 area code, and we'll get to you in a few moments. I want to pass it on to Stacy and let her put her 2 cents worth in here. Stacy, you come with some really good understanding of some of the basics of Common Core and some of the damage that it does. Where is it really working? What do you see as you look at it? What do you see it really, really focusing to purposely destroy parental sovereignty so that it can enable itself to teach these things that they want to get across, that the left wants to teach our kids?
Well, it's really unfortunate how much experience I have, because I didn't go out seeking to join a cause that found me. My kids' school started Common Core this school year, and I immediately noticed just a ton of homework coming home. My daughter not understanding things. I'm a single mom of 3 kids. I have a second grader and a kindergartner. And ironically, Jennifer spoke to this about the pledge. What got my ears perked up was when my children didn't know, not they didn't know the pledge, but didn't know what the Pledge of Allegiance was. So they have stopped saying the Pledge of Allegiance in our schools here. So I started doing a little digging and then started reading some of their textbooks. I'm also a college student, and as I was reading my government textbook and noticed how radical it was, I decided I should probably check into what they were reading. The problem that I have is the way it's affecting my family is they've already stopped teaching history. My kid's dad is an active duty member of the Air Force, and so he's fighting a war that people think is over. He's out there away from home, away from us, away from his kids, and the kids come home Veterans Day, and they have no idea what a veteran is. They come home on Memorial Day, and they have no idea what Memorial Day is about. They are no longer teaching who Christopher Columbus is. And they have no idea what 9/11 was. They just completely stopped teaching social studies in elementary school. And so I have to spend that time at home teaching my kids American history, because it's important to me that they know it so that they can pass it down. And then also the Common Core math curriculum is so ridiculous. I'm a math major, and I've had to actually go sit down with my daughter's teacher to teach me math to teach my daughter. And so for my 7-year-old, we spend 2 to 3 hours a night on homework. My kindergartner, we got, a month and a half of school left, still can't read a book. So we work on that for about an hour every night. And the problem with that, not that I mind helping my kids every night, is while I'm teaching them math and spelling and reading and history, I can't teach them about God and morals and values as much as I would without having to do all this other nonsense, the stuff that they should be learning in school. So where I see the parental sovereignty going away is not just what they're teaching in school that is a flat-out lie. They've rewritten history. They're not just omitting it. They're telling kids things about DDT in second grade, things about the dark ages and how it was dark because kids just didn't want to read books and didn't care about learning in the Middle Ages. It's just at the very, very early ages, they're just spewing lies, and I'm having to correct it at home. And we go to church, and my kids get excited about God, but then they get frustrated because they can't understand this math that I also can't understand. And it has completely, in just the past 9 months or so, sucked away our family time. And as a single mom, already, you know, struggle to sit down and find family time with housework and cooking and groceries and ballpark and, you know. So I think that what's being missed on a national level, even by people who are paying attention, is what it's taking away from in the home as far as what you would normally be doing, and instead you're having to counter the indoctrination, and that's taking away from values, if that makes any sense.
Well, and it totally makes a lot of sense, because I know we've got a pretty good little school district here. I'm in a little small town with a small school that goes from kindergarten to eighth grade, and we've got a pretty conservative area here. But I already spend a lot of time with these kids, beating down just some of the basic principles that they're teaching in our schools that are just not correct. You know, the big one, and the one they use the most, is sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will always hurt me. And we were all raised on sticks and stones can break my bones, and names will never hurt me. And I have to turn around and go behind my niece, behind the school, and say, listen, this is the way it is. You know, people are going to say mean things to you about you all your life. They're going to say not nice things. People are just that way, and you don't have to learn to have big, broad, bold shoulders to throw it over your shoulders. And mm-hmm. you're just going to have to learn that people are going to do that to you. However, on the other side, you don't need to be hurting mm-hmm. people's feelings, because things do hurt.
Yeah.
But that's not what schools are teaching. The schools are just teaching, if what you say is offensive to somebody in any way, then you need to not say it at all. And they're using that as a tool. We could talk for days and days and days, of course, on all the examples of stuff like that. But Stacey, I know exactly what you're talking about. Go ahead. You were going to say something?
I was just going to say fairness also has made its way so far into the school that, you know, when I was growing up, hate wasn't a cuss word, but it was not allowed in my house. You did not say the word hate. And it's turned into, in my house, we do not say the word fair because, you know, I was raised on life's not fair, get over it, move on. And that is absolutely not what's taught. My son was at a fall festival type thing back in the fall, and they were giving prizes away whether you won or lost. And he looked up at me, he was five, and goes, Mommy, why do you get something whether you win or lose? I mean, and I go, well, I don't know. I don't know how to explain principles to him on such a five-year-old level when the school is doing the contrary. And they don't even realize they're doing it because they think they're doing what's best for the kids. Because I live in a conservative town. I don't feel like the teachers are doing it intentionally. I don't think they know any better. I don't think they have a clue what Common Core is. Because if you talk to them about it, and I have, they just kind of go blank in the eyes and say, well, I don't know what to tell you because I'm still trying to figure all this out on my own, too, and we'll get it eventually.
Yeah, and that's going to be our big hurdle, is getting the information out, because what they have been told is totally watered down. It's just the good things. And those that do understand it, and this is where I believe when we get into solutions, I'll talk about this a little bit more. We've got two different kinds of superintendents in our schools. We have ones that are either lying or they're naive. Now, the ones that understand this well know that they do not want to bring this issue up with the parents. So that should tell them right then and there they've got a problem. We've got a superintendent here who has had the attitude over the years of, I'd rather not have the parents involved. And we know that's where they're going with that. Well, I want to throw Jenny Gallegos from Oregon in here to the conversation. Jenny, welcome. You're new to Common Core. You're the last couple of weeks you've been discovering this. So I want to ask you really the same question to start out with, and then just take it where you want. What was it that really caught your attention about Common Core? What was it that made you go, Oh, wait a minute. Oh, no, 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 no.
Well, there's a lot about Common Core that makes me go, no, 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 no. But I think it would primarily be the tracking, the P20 database that they are, well, they've already started, and they're compiling information on our children that can be shared with anybody within the United States. And that, I think, is an issue of parental sovereignty. You know, I should be the one to be in charge of my children's information, and I have the right to know when it's being distributed and who it's being distributed to.
Exactly. And as you are becoming active, and another thing I wanted to ask you, you're up in Oregon. I went to college in Portland, Oregon, and I lived for a couple of years in Wenatchee, Washington. I've lived in the Great Northwest. You're actually, they call California the liberal state, and we're really not. We passed Proposition 8 by 60%. But up in the Great Northwest where you're at, you really do run into, oftentimes, a lot of very loud liberals. And as you're,
yes,
as you're approaching different people in the Great Northwest, which is beautiful up there except for the politics at times, what are you facing? What are you hitting? What kind of roadblocks are you hitting?
Ignorance. People just don't know about it because it's been implemented so secretly and with so much stealth that people just haven't heard about it, and they don't understand that it's not just curriculum and new standards, that there's a whole other load of things that go along with it that they don't know anything about.
Exactly. And we're going to make sure that they find that out. Like I said, I feel the momentum. I've seen different things over the last 2 years. I've had my fingers in a lot, a little bit here and a little bit there. And as I go through my day using social networking, I see a lot of different things. And, you know, there's some great candidates that I helped over the last 2 years that just could not get any momentum. But this has got some great momentum. I want to go to our guest in the 360 area code, and we don't even know who it is, so you'll have to go ahead and state your name and let us know you have a question or a comment. They're there. But not. Okay, 360 area code. You're in there. Oh, they just dropped. So that must have been they didn't want to talk. They pressed
the door.
All right. So what? We're going to go on. And I really, I want to go back.
Drop it on the camera and leave. Let him go.
We're going to get around. We're going to go around the in the normal order, but I do want to start with Stacy on this one because I want to go in, and you're the best one suited to do this. Just lay out three basic things about Common Core that we as activists, we on Facebook or talking to our neighbors or going to a school, the three big things about Common Core that catches people's attention and makes them just go, what's going on here?
Wow. 3 out of 3,000, that's a heavy load. First of all, the first one I would say is a hybrid. I don't feel like pushing state sovereignty is getting the message across. I think that parental sovereignty, parents' choices, and running your own family and making decisions for your school is key, because when I found out the kids weren't saying the pledge anymore, I went to the teacher. When the teacher didn't respond, I went to the vice principal. When she didn't respond, I went to the principal. When he didn't respond, I went to the superintendent. The superintendent responded. With Common Core, after the superintendent comes the federal government. And I don't think that we need to elaborate on the outcome of the chances of a federal government responding to your concern about Johnny being, you know, picked on in Miss White's class last night. You know, so that's the key, I think, to reaching people, is making them understand when you have an issue under Common Core, there's nowhere to go. I think the second key would be that different states are calling it different things. We had school board member come onto one of the local radio stations a couple weeks ago saying, we don't have Common Core in this state. We have not, you know, adopted Common Core. I don't know what the uprising about. What we have is college and career ready standards or something like that. It's all the same under a different disguise. I don't care what it's called. If it's run by the Federal Board of Education, I don't want it. And then the third key, I guess, is just, you know, all you have to do is look around, and even in the state of Alabama, not being allowed to say Easter in school, that it's in the very early stages we're seeing this political correctness taking over, and I don't want my kids to be afraid to speak in class.
Yeah,
so,
you know, I'm on a conference call.
I need my charge right now.
Yeah, we're having some kind of background noise. Stacey, I would have basically said the same three things, because, you know, it's not the piece of Common Core that's the problem. There are some little aspects of different ways of learning that you can discuss. It's the system itself, and it's what it's designed to do. And I'm really surprised, and I was talking with my sister, Stacey, about this last night. I'm really surprised that they threw all of the curriculum stuff about politically correcting our what goes on in the classroom, politically correcting the curriculum, some of the Islamic stuff that's been thrown in there, some of the unpatriotic stuff that's been thrown in there. I'm really surprised they put that in there already. I would have thought if they really wanted to do this, they would have left all that out until they got everything all set up and then turned around and threw that in there.
They just went full force and threw. And I mean, I get something every single day. Last Thursday, they sent home letters where they're now tracking my children's behavior online in an online database. I'm in rural Alabama, and they're tracking with obedience points, and if they're good, they get so many points for being good, and if they're bad, they get negative points. And we don't know what's happening with this information, and I never signed an agreement to, say, track my child. They don't care about parental consent anymore. They just do what they want to do, and parents go, oh, this is kind of neat. Look, I can see what my child's doing. And I'm going, who else can see what your child's doing, you know?
That's right. I wanted to change our focus a little bit into some details, and we'll start back again, of course, with Jennifer. But there's some problems with Common Core. We know that. But we need to really start looking at some of the solutions. And I have framed the solutions this way. We've got the solutions that we have to use when we address a legislator. We know that part of stopping this is going to be through legislation. We've got to get our legislators, we've got to get our governors, we've got to get our state legislators, our national legislators, to a full understanding of what's going on. But I don't believe we can win it there. They have to have a whole lot of pressure, and the pressure that's coming down on the corporate side of Common Core is huge. There are other ways that we need to accomplish this task. Another one, it's just our local involvement. We got to reach the parents in our communities, and we've got to make sure that the school boards understand that the parents in the communities now know what's going on. I believe we need to. We're really focused, and we had a link the other day, and I was going to pull it out to post it in the chat room tonight about an amendment to the Constitution that blatantly and clearly makes sure that we are guaranteed our sovereign rights as parents. That is blatantly guaranteeing that the state is the highest level of authority in our schools. The federal government should have nothing to do with this. There's a lot of things the federal government should really stay out of. I believe an amendment is part of that. I believe our social networking tools and the fight that we're doing right now is a big, huge part of it. But I want to start with the legislators and kind of go through some of those things. I want us to take and do some brainstorming time, some idea sharing time. You touched on a huge thing, which is, of course, the data mining. They're working on really basically, by the time our kids of this generation get to be adults, that they already know everything they want to know about them. And that's insane. But as we go forward, and we'll start with Jennifer Montrose, Jennifer, what do we do with these solutions? How do we use social networking? How do we use it to reach the masses? How do we use it to reach our legislators? How do we, on the ground, get the information out to the parents? How do we make sure every parent knows? A few weeks back on Conservatives Coast to Coast, we had Orlene Coley on, and, you know, she talked about how 95% of the country at the time had no clue about Common Core. Now, I've seen a lot of action in the last 6 weeks, so I think that 97% gone down a little bit. But I made the statement that I may not be able to make sure that that other 95% of the parents in this country know about Common Core. But I can sure make sure 95% of my little community of 2,000 people knows about Common Core. And I believe that's going to be one of the keys to this. But, Jennifer, I'd like for you to throw in a little bit of what Alabama is doing, and I'll let Stacey fill in on some of that too, because Alabama's really rocking on this. Alabama's fighting this and a lot of other things hard. What's Alabama doing, and what can we further do? What ideas do we need to put together?
I will tell you right now that we have some women. One of the great patriots here in Alabama, Aloa Zena, man, she is in Montgomery every time they're in session. And we've got some women that have taken it upon themselves now that they have retired to be activists. They're doing what those of us who are full-time parents may not have the time to do, and they're researching the bills, and they're finding out all the current information and such so that they collect the data for sending out email blasts to all of their friends and neighbors and people around in their communities. And we're just by word of mouth and through posting and connecting with people on Facebook and meeting in coffee shops and various places, we're getting this word out. And when there is a time for right now, we've got Common Core, there's some things going on in our state that are kind of on hold. And so what we are doing now is we have women that are taking it upon themselves and going up to Montgomery, and they're getting on the microphone. And they're calling people. They're calling their senators, their congressmen, and letting them know that we don't want this here. It doesn't belong here, and we don't want this for our children, our grandchildren, and why. And so education is the key. And, you know, I've got a friend of mine who's got a granddaughter, and she is dealing with, you know, some personal stuff with mental illness and that sort of thing. And the way that they're addressing her in elementary school and how they're dealing with her is just horrible. It's just horrifying to think of what could possibly be, you know, the future for when we – and I agree. We've got to educate more. And I know that people say that that Facebook and social media, Twitter and that sort of thing, that that's a great way and a resource to reach out. And what we're doing here on this radio show is a wonderful resource to do. But in your town hall meetings, and if getting your book clubs together and talking about these issues, and I will tell you that you know, they say that church and state can't mix, but there is a way where you can get around that, and you can go into your church groups, and you can talk before and after in your Bible studies about the things that are dear to your heart, your children, your grandchildren. And people are getting fired up about this. You know, but we've got to get past the Kardashians, you know, and the Honey Boo Boo shows, because we've got to really, really, really pay attention to what is being said out there. What is happening in our legislature right now is that there are bills that come up on the floor, and they get passed right underneath us, so we don't even know they're happening. And it's time that we quit falling asleep. And we, you know, the people that were in that church that back when they were getting ready to have, you know, the actual Tea Party that you know about from history, they were in a small little church, and there were Christians that were praying and praying and praying and praying that those ships that were coming across those waters would sink, you know. And so we have got to come together in this very same tenacity and fervor that we had back then, people that were going to great, great, great lengths. We have got to get off of our couches and be willing to do these things. If we can start forming our little groups, getting together and having coffee and addressing these things, we've got to get this stuff done. And I will tell you that you may think that what is going on Facebook can be a nuisance. It can be boring and people don't want to get inundated. But, you know, if you can reach one person, then that person reaches another person and it's a domino effect, then, you know, we can definitely make a difference. Don't think that you don't have time. And, you know, even when I am in a restaurant and I'm meeting strangers, you know, and I listen to, may overhear a conversation about what's going on in somebody's, you know, with their school, you know, it's up to me. If I know something, to say something.
Exactly. And I want to clarify something I said, because I got a great in the chat room about the state being in control. I don't want the state to be in control either. But if we, you know, we can sing one at a time. I believe fully should have 95% of the control of what's going on. There is a reason occasionally for the state to step in. There is never a reason for the federal government to step in. So I want to make that clear. I don't want the states deciding any of this either. But that's where the authority should stop. It should stop at the state level and should never go any higher on all of these issues. We as conservatives would have a lot easier fight if we were fighting some of these things, abortion, gay marriage, guns, when we're fighting them on the state level. The federal government has no business in the middle of all this. The federal government on guns has only one role in all this, and that's to protect our Second Amendment rights. It needs to be up to the states if there needs to be some solutions. And solutions are always important. We believe that. But I firmly believe that the elephant of the power, the huge elephant of the power, needs to be set right down in our local school board and not even in their power. In the power of the parents. It needs to be handled in the power of the parents. The parents need to have the right to walk into that school anytime they want and know and be confident that their children are being taught the reading and the writing and the arithmetic. They don't need to be teaching them about worldview. They don't need to be teaching them about religious view. So with that, I want to pass it on down to Jenny and let you comment on some of the things we've been discussing.
Well, the thing that, as I said before, that I'm really focused on is the data mining and the tracking of the kids. And the P20 tracking is preschool through age 20, like you mentioned before, cradle to career, that they will be monitoring our children and inventorying them. And basically our government is looking at our children like they are human capital or human resource material. And I completely disagree with that on so many levels, because God created our children to be unique individuals, and they should be able to choose the career that He has for them instead of the government dictating what they're going to be doing for the rest of their lives.
Exactly. And the data mining is huge. It's huge because I've got a friend, Melissa, in Kentucky, copy and pasted in a file what she sent me not too long ago, a list of the information that they're looking for. And it took her
four. I have that information.
Do you have that?
I pulled it up. There's, you know, bus stop times. They even have a category for cohorts. So whoever your child hangs out with, that will be monitored. Extracurricular learning programs, student advisors, There's, and they don't even, it's not just on the children either. I was looking through, it's NTES.org, and you go to the education data model. Information that's going to be stored on the parents as well and the educators as well. So we are all being monitored through this new system of standards and data collection. And it's just wrong. That is a violation of privacy, and I completely disagree with it, vehemently disagree with it.
Oh, and it's huge because, number one, it's none of their business, period.
Yes.
Number two, it takes the whole thing away from Common Core and puts it right back on the large sovereignty issue. And that's our sovereignty of our freedom and our liberty. We know that one side of politics is always ready. Let's have a debate. Let's have both sides of the issue out there. Lay it all out. I am never afraid to discuss politics openly with somebody who disagrees with me. Because I know that my facts come down on the right side of things. But the other side, we know, they don't like that. They don't want to have both sides of the discourse. They know the same thing that I know. They know that when they have both sides of the discourse involved, then people don't make the decision that they want them to make. They don't have the brainwashing. But right now, our media, Hollywood, our schools, and even our churches, even some of our churches, are teaching a philosophy that really stems from this, and this is where the foundation of it comes from. I believe that life is precious. I believe that each individual life is precious. They come from a belief that man is just here, and that if it helps the masses, if you kill off a bunch of them for one reason or another, then it helps make it better. We know that when you get deep into their philosophy, they would love to lower the world's population by 50%. They believe that. Now, they won't ever say that, but it's in their books. So, you know, we can read Saul Alinsky's books and different books from the left, and we know exactly where they want to go. We know that they're not happy with abortion in the first trimester. They've never been happy with that. So now we're dealing with the topic, Planned Parents dealing with the topic of what do you do with a baby that's born out on the table with the doctor and the mother looking there and the abortion didn't go right, and what do we do? Do we have the right to kill it? That's a long ways past the first trimester. We know where they want to go. They tell us where they want to go. They want to go to where up until two years of age, a parent has got the right to decide whether or not that child gets to live. That's where they want to go. And so we know that side of politics, and we know where it ends up. History will bear that out. The pattern will bear that out. And so that's what we got to do. We've just got to keep going. And, you know, this is all about two different directions. It really is. And this conversation is one that is very important. Before we get back into our topics again, I do want to mention that the basis of using tonight's politics and religion, don't tell me I cannot mix them, for Common Core and parental sovereignty is this is going to be a jumping point. I'm in the process of putting together a weekly show for Common Core, just like this, where we got a roundtable discussion with four hosts, and hopefully here very soon we'll have information on that and exactly who's going to be hosting and what's going to be going on. And at that point, we will bring in people like Orlene Kohler and different people that are really, really experts on this and have them as guests and go on. But this show is about the basics. This show is about our concerns. This show is about our problems. And two of them right now are in the school system. The other one, by the way, is just barely 4 years old, can read and write and is adding. And I've done all of that without Common Core. I did that with a dry erase marker in the front of the refrigerator, folks. So I've seen in the last few days a lot of comments from different people of when they go to approach an educator or they go to approach a legislator. And what's thrown back at them is, well, but we're looking at making it where we can teach how to read better. We're looking for better ways to teach how to math. I hate to tell you, America, but we built what this is today. We built this great nation that people swim in shark-infested waters from Cuba to Florida to get to. We built it on the one-room schoolhouse. We built this with an education based on a blackboard and chalk and a few books. In fact, there's a lot of our generations that are still alive in this country that were taught to read using just the Bible. And so they're going to start throwing at us, folks. They're going to start throwing at us every reason why we've got to change the system. It's all about change. And my question, and I'm gonna just set this out there, and we'll go back around the table again. But my question is, change what? I'm really upset that the Republican Party, when Barack Obama started saying change, 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 that our answer in unison was not change what? Change what? We've got the greatest country in the whole wide world. We've got the richest poor people ever known to exist on this earth. Our poorest of poor in this country are considered to be in the top 10% of wealth of the world because of the system we've got. So change what? You know, we look at our school system and we see that the problem is always the argument of, well, we need more money. We need more money. But I happen to know for a fact that our private schools, most of the time, on approximately one-fourth of the money the public schools spend per student to a better job. Our children graduating from our public schools at an average of 50% go on to college. But when you jump into private school, it jumps up into the high 80s. And when you jump into homeschool, it jumps up to 97%. 97% of homeschooled children in this country not only graduate from high school a whole lot smarter, but they go on and they graduate from college. So we know as we look at the basics that we don't have to make education complicated. I guarantee you, and I've been in a classroom, I've taught junior high, if you give me a whiteboard and a dry erase, or 40 years ago a blackboard and a chalk, but I'd rather have the dry erase, I can take any child all the way through school, from kindergarten to high school. We don't need all kinds of fancy stuff. Now, computers are wonderful. I love computers. I spend off and on during the day. I drive by social networking on the computer, and it's great. We don't have to change a whole bunch of things in order to properly educate our students. I know because I've got a four-year-old that can read. And the only tool I've used a few videos and some music and different things, but the basic thing that I've used was a dry erase pen in the front of the refrigerator. And I think as we go on with this and we start to argue with our legislators, that's what we've got to get back to, is those basics. So I'm going to pass it back to Jennifer Montrose and let you continue my rant from there. You know better than anybody, how I am on a rant, I'll get going and keep going. So I want to pass the baton to you and continue the rant.
Well, I just, it's imperative that, you know, we don't need to lose the ability to teach our kids. And there's just things that I think they're just common basic things that we need as parents. Need to have and remain to have the right, you know, to teach our children our history. You know, and I understand this Common Core standards goes farther than when Obama was elected in 2008. There has been, if you listen to some of the more knowledgeable people out there, they will tell you that there has been people out there behind the scenes that have been slowly indoctrinating this into our system. And it all goes back to, you may have heard people talking about Agenda 21. And that's another subject for another time, but it all goes back to the same thing. If we can convince people that government is a good thing and that what government teaches us will better our children, and we can get control of the people. This is no different than what Hitler did, no different than what he did. And I'm telling you that, you know, education is the key for us. We as parents need to find out the answers. There's nothing wrong with asking questions. If you don't understand something, then you can go to your PTO meeting and ask. And if they won't satisfy you with the answer, then you can go beyond that. But I am telling you from my personal experience that this is scary. As a single parent, we, you know, when I am finding out that what our children are learning, what my child is learning, and the history of what's happened in our nation is not being taught correctly, according to the history books of what we grew up with, what formed our Constitution. If we cannot stand on our Constitution, and if that gets ripped out from underneath us, then I don't know what else to do. I mean, you know, we've got to take a stand. There's got to be more of us out there. We've got people that have we've got people that that have the skill, and you know, one of the reasons for some parents, you know, it's hard when you're raising a single parent. You know, how can you, when you've got a child that's in school for 8 hours in one day, you know, and we're trusting our children to be taught, you know, according to the, you know, and we allow the schools to do these things. And, you know, some parents don't have the availability because they got to get food on the table and keep the bills paid to do homeschooling, you know. So it takes, like the Native Americans say, it takes a village. It takes a village, you know, and we as Americans have got to stand up. We got to come together and unify on this. Because, you know, if we don't, that's the whole purpose of, you know, the slave master is if we can just, you know, keep them fed, keep them comfortable, you know, they're not going to ask any questions. Don't tell them anything that's with any truth, you know, and you know, they'll be fine. And, you know, I want to be able to be the one percenter like Douglas was, not the 46%er that's out there. I want to be the one percenter, and I want my child to have that same benefit. You know, and education is definitely the key, but Common Core is not the way. And if it doesn't make sense to you, if it does not make sense to you, go ask questions. Go seek and find the answers. You know, I'm always telling people that, you know, that if you want to make a difference, don't just listen to what somebody's telling you. Go find the facts out for yourself. Somebody will come to me and say, you know, what is it about this bill that you don't like that they're getting ready to pass? And I want to be able to say correctly because of what I have learned by reading it myself, what I don't like about it, not what, you know, John Doe or Jane Doe had to say about it. I want to know that the information that I have comes from my own personal research. And I may not have all the answers. I don't claim to know all the answers, but, you know, I'm doing this for my child and for my grandchildren.
That's right, and that's the big press. You know, I'm worried about what this country is going to look like in 40 years, and I'm worried about what the church is going to be like in 40 years. I'm worried about what our judicial system's like in 40 years. On Thursdays on Blog Talk Radio, we do a show about Don Miller, a man innocent who has been in prison for 14 years now of a sentence of 42 years because somebody was malicious. And it's about over. But, you know, things like this, I'm concerned about these things for when my kids are older. You know, before we run back over, we're going to go around the table back around to Stacy. But I want to pick up a caller. We've got a caller from 616. If you can identify yourself and what do you have to say? We don't have a caller from 616. They might be just listening.
Yeah,
and
I'm right here. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay. Go ahead.
This is Mike.
Start with your name.
My name is Mike. Okay. I'm from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Why don't you just continue with the roundtable and then come to me at the end? I'm really enjoying you guys. It's like I'm taking notes. So.
No problem. We will do that. So we will pass it on to Stacy, and then when Stacy's done, Jenny, you just pick it up and run with it, and we'll come right on back into Mike.
Well, I mean, obviously this is a serious, serious issue, but it's easy to get discouraged, and quickly. We've been fighting this here in Alabama. I've been fighting it in my school since August, and I have to tell myself daily that this is it. This is important. This, if there was ever a reason to fight, this is the reason to fight. I'm a mother. I am on this earth to raise my children now, and this is, you know, God didn't put me here in this place by any accident. I've sat down face to face with a couple of legislators in Alabama and spoken to them, and they will tell you to your face, oh, yeah, we got to get rid of Common Core. Common Core is bad, bad news. And then you start to tell them what it is, and they just look at you, and they don't know. I spoke with one of my legislators and was talking to him about the school system my kids are in. He wasn't even aware that, and this is in his district, that the schools had adopted Common Core. And when we spoke further, his grandchildren attend the school. So his grandchildren are in a school being taught under a Common Core curriculum, and he's completely disconnected. So when, you know, people say, contact your it's almost like at this point you have to be ruthless about it. Like, I will vote for a Democrat before I vote for you if you don't do something, because it's now or never. Alabama only has like a week or so left of session this year. If it's not stopped now, it almost can't be stopped, because it'll be fully implemented next year. And once you go there, it's going to be almost impossible to go back. And I have also come to the realization that if I end this life with 1,000 enemies and 0 friends because I spoke out on this, if my kids get a better education and aren't indoctrinated by this government, then I'll be okay with that. I've gotten to the point where I will talk to anybody, whether they feel it's politically correct or not to do so. This message has to get out. And like Jennifer said, Facebook's not doing it. Twitter's not doing it. Websites aren't doing it. Petitions aren't doing it. Sometimes even calling, you know, the GOP isn't doing it, because they have those unions coming down on the other side, and who are you? But it's going to take you telling your friend and telling your friend, this is not a joke. This is serious, and this is now. And I'm really burdened by it, because I love this country. And one of the reasons I wanted to have kids was so I could pass on my love for this country, and so that they could do good things in this country. And every day I wake up and I look at them, and in the way that things are turning, I wouldn't have a kid today knowing that this is what that they would come into. But because I do, I am going to fight until I die to make sure that they get to experience the America that I was raised in. And as it is right now, they aren't getting to experience America like we did.
No, they're not. And it's, we're going to change that. And like you said, it can be discouraging at times, because this thing has got its legs and its feelers in everywhere. They've got bribe money all over the place. They are bribing the living daylights out of us in there. I do know one thing that we haven't mentioned yet that I do want to throw in here, it's very important to the fight, is not only the legislators that are elected. We've got good ways of getting in contact with them and sitting down with them. We got to put a big, huge focus over the next 2 years of the legislators that are going to get elected. We need our conservative candidates in this next 2 years to make Common Core the centerpiece of their elections. And that can really, really help with this. And with that, well, I'll pass it back on over to Jenny, and then we'll come back around to Mike for any comments that he's got.
Well, you said, you know, change what? And I think that the goal of Common Core Standards Initiative is to change how our children think and how they behave. And I don't believe that the education system has any business telling my child how they need to think about certain societal issues or how they need to behave, you know, in relation to what makes them a good, quote-unquote, global citizen. And my husband was from Mexico, and he became a United States citizen, and that was a really big deal for our family. And I want my kids to know what it means to be an American citizen and not a global citizen. I don't want them to be pledging loyalty to a global consortium of countries. I want them to be pledging their allegiance to the United States of America. And like these other ladies said, to know the history that happened to create the United States. And they're not gonna know that unless I teach it to them, or unless we are able to get that back into the schools. And what our kids are taught is what they're going to grow up thinking, this is how it really is, and this is what I need to believe about this particular issue. And they're brainwashing our children, and I'm not going to let that happen. You know, I just started fighting this 2 weeks ago, but I'm going to keep fighting until I see something move. And in my state, it's not moving very fast, but I'm working on it.
Well, and Jeannie, you know, and that's one of the reasons I'm glad you're on the show, because you make me not feel so bad for not knowing anything. In a few months, I'll know a whole lot. But what is important is not our knowledge. It's, you know, Jennifer and Stacey got a whole lot more knowledge than we've gotten. And as we go into the future on this, we'll have some great guests of people that have been working on this for a long, long time. But what's important is our energy. What's important is our enthusiasm. What's important is our dedication to this. And I'm looking forward, Jeannie, as we've gotten to know each other the last couple of days, to working forward with you on this as we fight this battle. Because it's a huge battle. And we, as the authority figure in raising a child up until they're age 18, have some responsibilities. And one of those responsibilities is to teach the children in our care, the home, to teach them a worldview. To teach them right and wrong, to teach them some basic principles. And by the end run of where Common Core goes, and we know this is what they want. Now, they won't say this. They won't put this in print, but they will. We know this is what they want. They want to be able to come in and say, no, you as a parent, you're wrong, and you're not allowed to say that to your child. You're not allowed to teach that you believe homosexuality is wrong. You're not allowed to believe that the world, the country that we live in, is a good country. You're not allowed to believe that its responsibility is important. And when you have a government that creates a dependent society, you create a crappy government and a crappy society. They want to take that right away from us. And that's what this is all about in the end run. And we'll go back. I want to go back to Mike and give you a chance to throw some comments in here, Mike. Where are you from again?
Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm. We're going through the same debate. Just 2 weeks ago, we had this in my city, and I never knew what it about the core. I never heard about it until a month ago. Someone posted something on Facebook, and I called my friend who's a teacher, and I said, "What is this?" And he's like, "You really don't know?" Because I'm pretty politically active. And a couple things. Number one is, I think when we are interviewed, when school boards, you hear, are getting a new superintendent or school board elections, I think we as people need to be down there and we need to ask them something along the lines of this. On a scale from 1 to 10 or from a percentage standpoint, you ask, what percentage do you believe that the federal and state should have in our local schools that you will be elected to? And a school board member or a superintendent who is one of the candidates for that job needs to answer that. And I think it's very important. Facebook and Twitter and all of those networking tools work great. The problem is you got to know how to use them. You can't just post it because if you have 1,000 friends, only about 100 will see that. You have to know how to utilize these tools in the right way. And nothing is wrong still with the old-fashioned knocking on a few doors of people that you know in your community or you see that are politically active and bringing them involved, because chances are that a lot of the older people don't have Facebook or Twitter, but through the years they've established a solid core of voters who go to meetings on a regular basis and turn the place upside down. This is a war of Democrats and Republicans. You know, the Republicans say it's the union's fault. The Democrats say we need more money. No, no, no. When you run for a local school board, you're more than likely running because you care for the kids. So the vision is you need people. You do get some idiots in there, but you have to be able to define who they are and who they are not. And my big thing is you have to be ruthless in many ways because the other side is ruthless. They're going to do whatever they can to stick a key in the back of your son or daughter and wind them up like a little robot because they look at them as numbers. They don't look at it as your son or your daughter. They look at it as numbers and what's going to best benefit government. And we think differently. In some ways, we have to be ruthless back to the politicians. I don't feel like I just read in front of a bunch of people call my state representative a pathological liar. We were at a meeting, and basically I was the only true conservative there. My question never got asked. And I said, well, you threw it in the trash. She said, no, I asked everyone. I said, the chances that my question got lost are zero. But anyway, you have to in some ways remember always, these people are our servants. They are our servants. They are not somebody we look up to, wow. No, they're going to be making decisions, and they're going to be taking money that we pay in taxes. And we can't be. So as a group, we can't be intimidated to ask them the hard question. Or maybe ask them a question where they say to someone like Stacy, well, you know what? I really don't have an answer on that. Let me take your name and number. I'm going to look into this. And we need candidates who will be that. The candidates that know it all, as we know, really, really know nothing. And part of the solving all of this is to remember that they work for us, and not to look at it as, well, you can't beat City Hall. You sure as hell can beat City Hall, and you can beat the school board, and you can beat the state government and the federal government. You just remind them who they work for. And when they know you have backing behind you, that's when they listen a heck of a lot more than if, you know, you just write them a simple email. Because an email signed by a group, the citizens for this, or the taxpayers of this, the Tea Party of this, they get responses with direct phone calls from the legislatures. And slowly but surely, the feds are moving in. You saw Barack Obama's State of the Union. He wants to start at the preschool level. It's up to us right here. I mean, it's do the four or five of us on Blog Talk Radio here just kind of hang up and, you know, whatever? Or do we really call other people and get more people involved? It's with us. And the bottom line is if they win, it's because we let them win. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I just think we need to be able, when somebody says something along the lines, I love the, as a true conservative, I see these rhino Republicans. I love arguing with them when I was, well, it's the union's fault, let's save it. Teachers don't become teachers simply to get rich. But you have a lot of bad teachers, but for the most part, most teachers really care about their kids. Your son or daughter is almost like their son or daughter, and they really care. So the bottom line is you have politicians fighting union politicians, hence more and more trouble. And I said something in our Grand Rapids School Board meeting, and I got an applause. And I said, you know what, the hell with the money from the feds and the hell with the money from the state. And I said, you can get quiet and think, why would Mike say this? You know why? Because it's our cash. That money that they're giving them, somehow where are they getting it from? They're getting it from us. So and it's all our money. They're almost like, well, the federal government's offering us this. The federal government's giving you the same money that you're giving the local. The state's funded by you, and so is the Fed. So that was it. That was my basic comment. And you just got to remember, they work for us. I'm not, you know, I hate this when people are like, oh, well, Your Honor. That title is earned. That title goes to a veteran or a person who has earned it, not just somebody because they've been elected to something.
That's right. And I wish I had the clip loaded. We've got it on the underground hard drive at Conservatives Coast to Coast. But this would be a really good time to play Nancy Pelosi asking to be called senator, or not Nancy Pelosi, Barbara Boxer to be called a senator. They have, and on both sides, this is not just a Democrat or a Republican side problem. Our elected leaders have gotten a mentality of they're the bosses, and they're not the bosses, they're the employees. They're sent there to do a job. They're not. We don't call Barbara Boxer senator because she's been there for so many years and got elected. Respect is earned. Respect is not just handed down. And you, Mike, you've hit on the big key. This is one of the foundational underpinnings of this whole problem, is the mentality that these guys know better than for us. Well, I hate to tell them, but the public school system sometimes takes 6 and 7 years of age in order to get a child to read. I've got one reading that just barely turned 4. So, and I don't say that to brag. It was not a very difficult task to do. I'm working on the third one. It's not a difficult task to do. I say that to make the point that this is not rocket science for these guys. These guys up in like Sacramento or Lansing or some of these other places that are making state decisions, the people in Washington, D.C., if they had a more humble attitude towards their job and instead of running around playing politics, we would be a whole lot better. And that's, you know, I could talk all day on Barbara Boxer asking to be called senator. We've got a judge up in Hurley, Wisconsin, that threatened to have an older lady, a sweet older lady, arrested because she wouldn't call him judge. His name is Patrick Madden, and he's just about ready to be recalled for stuff like that and many other things. And so that, I do believe, is key. Well, we're sitting at about 10 more minutes left of the show. We're in at the half of the hour, so I want to put it for last comments, and we'll start with Jennifer and go around. Any last comments you've got on the show? Any last things you want to throw in? And then Mike, after we go through Jennifer and Stacy and Jenny, if you want to throw some last comments in, you're welcome. And then I will go ahead and bring the conclusion to the show. So, Jennifer Montrose in Alabama, it's rocking.
I want to say, you know, there's government bullying going on. They want to it's like they're dangling a carrot in front of a rabbit with this money. And they say, if you don't buy into this, we're going to cut funding from you. And so I can remember as a kid, I'm 49, the money that my parents had to spend on school supplies back then in the 60s and 70s, and now what we as parents have to provide for our kids to go to school. You know, there's a whole list, a whole grocery list of supplies that we have to provide. And so when you go and get involved in your PTO, I want to make sure that when I'm giving my $100 that they suggest every beginning of the school year, that money's going for all the right reasons. And the thing that I've noticed in Alabama is it's like, well, if you don't do what we're telling you, that this is what we're going to do, and if the state of Alabama chooses not to endorse Common Core, then we're going to take your funding away. And teachers are already, you know, those that are in it because they have a heart for the kids and they want to see the kids being taught. I mean, I have a dear friend of mine who retired. And she said she tried her best while she was as a school teacher to try to educate others on the issues of Common Core, and she would get, you know, belittled and ousted out. There's even bullying that goes on within the school system itself with the teachers, and it's like if you tell on them and expose the reality of this to others, then you get in trouble. And you become, you know, you're the bad seed of the school, you know, and then they start looking out and watching out after you. I mean, you know, we've got stuff that's going on. You know, the school that my son goes to was built in 1962, so it was my school alma mater. And I've just seen so much change over the years, but we have got to get involved. You know, and I agree with what was said. You know, Twitter and Facebook can be a really good resource, but it's all on how you use it. But I will tell you one thing. Don't be discouraged. If you live in a community and you feel like that you're a lone ranger and nobody's around you, one of the things that I've learned with social media, and see, that's how Scott and I got to know each other, is we found common ground, common cause, and we began to communicate and share information back and forth. And if you don't have anybody in your local coffee shop or at your local city council that feels the same way that you do, find somebody from another state that does. Begin to share information to them, you know, and let them know what's going on. And develop a dialogue, exchange phone numbers, and encourage others. Because if you have something going on positive in your state and you see what works for you and what you've been able to do to trump this issue in your state and it's making a difference, share that with somebody from another state. Let those people know that it does matter and it can make a difference. If you begin to get discouraged, you know, and the things that we have with it, I don't think that education and my child should not get less of an education because he lives in an underdeveloped community with no infrastructure than somebody that lives in a wealthy community. I think that that should not dictate to what kind of education that my child gets and receives. But if we allow Common Core to go on, then if we allow Common Core to keep going at this rate, then, you know, heaven forbid what's going to happen to our Constitution. We have to get back to our founding principles. Respect for life, respect for the Constitution, belief in personal responsibility, belief in limited government. We've got to get back to those core values, and we've got to teach that to our children. It can't be government rule. It can't be. But we have seen time and time again, when the government begins to dictate, then, you know, when they decide they don't want to play our way, they'll take their toys and go home, and we're left empty-handed to starve. You know, and that's the same thing with the education. I want my child to learn and have the same opportunities that someone like Dr. Ben Carson had. You know, and we've got to get involved. We've got to get involved. I think this is the Off the Chain show. I think we need to tell our friends about this, and we need to bring more people on. The wonderful thing about Blog Talk Radio is this can be rebroadcast and rebroadcast. It's archived so that if you didn't get a chance, friend wanted to come on and didn't get a chance to listen, you can share it with others and make sure that they hear it, and then they can listen in at another time. So, but we've got to educate and get the word out. Thank you, Scott, for your willingness to take the front lines with this and carry the flag, because we need patriots that are out there willing to fight the fight.
Well, and I thank you too, Jennifer, and we know each other well. Jennifer and I work together. You know, she's in Alabama and I'm in California. But we're in connection with each other all day, every day. We get up in the morning and we say, good morning, what are we doing today? And we are not in contact 24/7, but throughout the day, we reach out to each other back and forth, and we use the social networking tools to fight a lot of different fights. And we've seen, you and I have seen firsthand, what a proper organization can do with a bunch of people. Because we've seen some great things accomplished over the last 2 years. We've watched a lot of candidates do some great things. We've watched a lot of different things just really happen because people were able to be organized. And this show tonight was not designed to help people understand Common Core. We'll leave that to the experts when we start the big show and start going on. We'll do more facts and figures on Common Core. Today was about the big things, and that's what you're hitting on, Jennifer. We got to get out to the people. You know, we've got to sit down. We've got to plan, make our plan, and we've got to work our plan. And if we all get together and do this for the duration, it's going to happen. We can do this. But if we stop this fight, and it's not just Common Core, it's a lot of issues. We've got to entirely neuter the federal government from doing anything. I don't vote for candidates because they tell me about all this legislation they want to write. I vote for candidates who say, I'm willing to go in and let's get rid of some of the legislation. We got an 80,000-page tax bill. It needs to be burned and start over. What are the solutions? Well, there's a few of them out there, some great solutions, but whatever solution you're going to get, it needs to be a tax bill that Aunt Betsy can read. The same thing with our schools. The federal government shouldn't have any kind of legislation whatsoever anywhere in Washington, D.C., that has to do with what's going on in the schools. In fact, they don't even need to be rebroadcasting the money. The money needs to go to the states instead of going to the federal government for the federal government to send it back. You know how much money it costs them? It costs them 30 cents out of every dollar to collect that money and get it out to the right places. It needs to stop. And like we said before, the state government, it should be the final authority. The federal government shouldn't have any authority, but the state government doesn't have any business telling the local governments what to do either. And that's the responsibility of the people in the local areas. They got to make sure that they retain their power in their counties, in their districts, and in their school districts. And we can win this battle that way. Boy, we got to bring in the reins. Stacy, we'll pass it on to you, and then we'll pass it on to Jenny, and then to Mike, and then we'll close out the show.
Okay. Thanks, Scott, for letting me come on and share my story. I'm by no means an expert. I'm just a low-income single mom living in a teeny tiny house doing the best I can. But because of that, I want the best for my kids, and I know firsthand all too well that Common Core is not it. It's not even they can't show you statistics on how it performs because it hasn't been tried. It's never been done. There's no proof that it works. And why would you go that route? And I can tell you proof from my life that my daughter, who's just been recently tested for the gifted program, made straight A's, nothing but A's, hundreds, 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 and now she's coming home with B's on her report card, crying every night, D's on her math test, doesn't understand. The way that they're teaching children is it's not common sense. It's not math is easy when you know math. It's cut and dry, and they're making it complicated. They're inserting like political and social things into math problems, and it's just eating away at every single thing to the point where it's discouraging our children from wanting to learn. And that's really, really hard to see as a mother when you sit and hold your 7-year-old who doesn't understand why she can't understand something, but she knows she's smart. So what I know is it doesn't work. What I know is it's not what's best for our kids. And I hold hope in God and know that that as long as we keep our eyes on Him as people and me as a mother, that He will have His will be done. And it's just really hard for me to believe that God wants the government to be controlling my children when He put me in control of my children. I was tasked with raising them and teaching them right and showing them the path and showing them God. No state, no federal, no local, nobody has that task but me, and it has been taken away, and it will continue to be taken away piece by piece. And I can't think of a more important issue right now. There are a lot of them out there. It feels like things are coming from every direction, hitting us in the face. But like Jennifer said, education is it, because if it ends with our children, there's no legacy left for them to pass because it's not been taught to them.
Exactly. And Stacy, I want to thank you, too. We've got a great group of people tonight discussing this, and there's one thing in common with all of us, and that's passion for this. This is the big topic of the day. I'm really, really mad very, very angry at Mitt Romney right now. He knew about Common Core. And he could have made the entire election about Common Core. He could have absolutely made the entire election about Common Core. He had it in his hand, and I didn't know it. And I'm angry at that because this is a big elephant in the room. It always has been. I've been saying for years we better get on our schools. A lot of this is already going on. A lot of this has been going on in our generation. The teaching that's going on in the classroom all over the place by liberal teachers everywhere has undermined the authority of the parents. But it hasn't been in an organized structure before this. And this is really a set up to make a structure to make sure that goes on in every single classroom. And your passion is great, Stacey. I appreciate you for calling in and joining us. I congratulate you from being from Alabama, because I'm not going to stop saying it. But Jennifer knows, she's probably tired of hearing this. Alabama's rocking right now. There is a lot of stuff going on in there right now. Frederick Douglass, Republican, Kay Carl, that's right down in the middle of it. Your federation, your Republican Federation, is working really hard doing things. There's a lot of people fighting stuff on Common Core. There's a lot of people fighting. You guys are fighting a hard fight on abortion right now. Alabama's got it rocking on, and I'm looking forward to that. We're getting ready to make a move here to Texas. Here this summer, and I'm going to be a little bit closer to Alabama, and I had one of the first trips it's going to take is down there to the 7th District and see my friends down there in Alabama. So big thanks, Stacey, for joining us tonight and your contributions. And then so I want to pass it on then to Jenny for your final thoughts, and then on to Mike.
Well, I think that the most important thing is to remember that this isn't a left or right issue. It's not Democratic or Republic. It's everybody. Anybody who has kids, who cares about kids, needs to get involved. And one of the best ways that I've found thus far is through social media. The people that I've met on Parents and Educators Against Common Core Standards Facebook page, they've just been wonderful resources, helpful, encouraging, and I strongly encourage people to go there, get involved, see what your state is already doing. There's a list of 42 states now that have groups within them that are fighting against Common Core, and just get involved. And you know, like these ladies said, that it takes talking to one person, you know, one-on-one, and educating them and showing them what's going on. And we just have to get out there and do it.
Exactly. And we're going to. And I want to thank you, too, Jenny, for logging on. And I'll let you know I'm really enjoying getting to know you. You and I are working together on a team of four administrators in a Facebook group. And if you're out there and you're interested in finding out about this, look us up. You can go to the Facebook page. You can find us. You can email at C4T. At radio, I'm sorry, C, the number 4T radio, C4T radio at yahoo.com. And let us know if you're interested in being active on a daily basis and getting information and sharing the news articles that are out there. They're coming through hugely daily. There's a lot of stuff going on Common Core right now, and it's a great place to find out about it. And I'm looking forward, Jenny, as the time goes on that we work together, we get to know each other and fighting with you side by side in this battle. And I want to thank you. And, Mike, are you still with us?
Oh, yeah, I'm still with you.
All right, we're going to throw it to you to give the final closing remarks for the show.
All of us have great comments. All of us have great concerns. It's up to us, realistically. It starts with me. I really loved watching the moron Republicans rally around Scott Brown. He was the savior, and there was the big fight with the Democrats. And you know what? Scott Walker, he is a politician, and it starts with you and I at home. And the best place, not only, there are many best places to go, but good places are online. But another good place is go where a lot of the older people are, the veterans who aren't afraid to get involved in a scuffle as far as verbally. They're in large numbers, and they go to these rallies to educate those people on what's going on. Because in many ways, it kind of goes back to when the Declaration of Independence was printed and they started circulating copies. You know, a third of the country wanted to stay with the king, and the other third really didn't care. It was us. It was the other third that did care. And that puts us right here. We're at a crossroads. Stacy is correct. God will look after us, but you know what? God gave us a brain to also look after those others. And it's up to us. It starts with us, and it ends with us. The problem isn't going to be solved by Democrats or Republicans. It's going to be solved by you and I and our next-door neighbors, period. It starts with us. It ends with us. That's why the beginning of our documents say, we the people. That's it. And also, nothing's wrong with telling everyone about Blog Talk, spreading the word. Hey, you know what? What's wrong with having your friend have a show after your show, and then another friend having the show, everyone talking core, getting everyone so excited about it, they can't even sleep till the next meeting. It's those type of things that create the America we know today. That's it.
You there, Scott?
No, I think he either got muted or he got knocked out.
He got muted.
I'm so sorry about that. Okay, all of the things that I've been saying were nothing. I keep my phone on mute because I got a lot of background noise around me, and I tend to cover it up when I talk, but when I'm sitting silent, I don't.
When you brought me on, I was muted. That's why you said, oh, we don't have Mike. But, you know, nothing is wrong with telling everyone about our shows and spreading the word to other people on BTR, almost creating a nicotine addiction, but talking about the core education. Because, you know, this is one issue that's everywhere. It's in the smallest city in the smallest state. It's in the biggest city in the biggest state. It concerns everyone. And you know what? It's up to us. It's up to us to inject them with this, with the type of hyperness we have, with the type of assertiveness we have. And I'll tell you something: when a board of education is sitting in front of five people and they get up and they say, you know, we're against the core, and they're like, thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, whatever. When you have to move the meeting into a gymnasium, they listen a lot more. And let me tell you, you can't see them underneath the table, but they're wetting themselves when they're thinking, Jesus, these people are insane. And, I mean, they listen a lot more. Anyway, thank you for allowing me to even be on the show. I really loved it. I'm going to be a regular.
Well, I appreciate you calling in, Mike. And you know Block Talk. Do you have a show?
Yeah, I participate in two shows, one at 11:30 Eastern Standard Time, Tuesday through Friday. It's called Conservative Prime Time. That's Eastern Standard Time, 11:30 p.m. We have a show of veterans, and then on 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Tuesdays and Fridays, Southern Sense. That's from South Carolina, where the lady who hosts it there is very big into this core, and she's very big into the Tea Party. It's an issue that has her all over the place, driving here, driving there, doing the show from here, because she's spreading the word, letting people know about it. You know, one thing you got to love about older people, they don't really care about offending anybody.
That's right. Well, and I thank you. And I'm glad you mentioned that. It is a important thing in my thinking that we let everybody in the whole wide world know what Blog Talk is. I've learned a lot in the last 2 years, and Herman Cain gave me a lot, and I'm often being out here in California where nothing really goes on. Even the primary election, they've never even made it this far. I've got a saying that all my friends back east have all the fun, and all I got out of the whole Herman Cain deal was this old Blog Talk Radio show. But I say that in jest because of all the tools that I've reached, maybe with the exception of that little Facebook chat that you can bring multiple people into and rename and put pictures that I do a lot of work in, Blog Talk is the huge tool. And I would love, personally, to see every day of the week somebody's got a Blog Talk show on Common Core. Two or three of them a day we need. It would be great to be able to, any time when we're talking with somebody about Common Core, say, well, you know, that's great. Fred's going to be on Blog Talk Radio tonight on such and such a show. Listen, call in and ask him your question. He'll tell you. He's the one who's got the information. And so go ahead and throw your links into the chat room, Mike, and let's make sure we get those. Or if you can Facebook them at the bottom of the show page, and then I will go ahead and help you spread those and be happy to listen and maybe even pop in on those shows. I've been in business before, and there's two different ways people look at business. You've got the businessman that looks over at the opposition, the not the opposition, the competition that's moving in, and he says, oh, he's going to take some of my piece of the pie. And that's not proper thinking. The proper thinking is oh, here comes somebody else that's kind of doing what I'm doing. If we work together, we can make the pie bigger. And the same thing works with Blog Talk. The more, the merrier. The more people we get listening to Blog Talk, because there is some wonderful stuff on Blog Talk. I've had a great, great 2 years so far on Blog Talk. I got to interview Rick Perry and Rick Santorum. How often does that happen? Blog Talk made that possible. Just this. This is the old uncle living here in little Springville, California, talking on the phone and doing neat things. And some of the candidates we've talked to. And I believe that Blog Talk is going to be a big part of this. And it happened that this was going to be part of the way I was going to end the show, was discussing this one thing. On Thursday nights on the Underground Hard Drive, you will find a radio show called The Free Don Miller Show. And it's a bad case. I'm not going to go into the details. It's a blatantly malicious case where a man should have never even been brought to court once you look at it. But in the last 2 years of working on this, well, in the last year, on that show, the Don Miller Show each week, we've come together and done like we always do on Blog Talk Radio, go around the room and talk about the issues, talk about the facts of the case, so on and so forth. And it's been a great way for people to call in and listen and find out about things that are going on in Hurley, Wisconsin. But the big place, the elephant in the room of Blog Talk to the Free Don Miller situation, is it's been the energizer battery to the movement that's gone around it. There are thousands of people now that are on the road of trying to do something to help free Don Miller. And each week, sometimes we talk about the same things over and over and over again, but it is an energizing momentum to the whole movement. And I see it's going to probably have to be the same thing for Common Core and fighting Common Core. Mike, you are right. We need about 20 different people out there with 20 different shows doing Common Core. There are plenty of guests out there who are willing to come on and talk and tell the important stuff, the details and the facts. There are plenty of parents and teachers that are willing to come on, and maybe they don't know all the facts, maybe they don't know all the details to argue, but boy, they sure can interject some passion. And I believe this medium right here is the social media network of all social media networks. Sometimes these shows, I've had shows that reached 4,000 people. I don't reach Sean Hannity's 1.5 million, 2 million people, 3 million people. We don't ever reach in the millions. But the people that we do reach are active. They're activists. And they're working hard behind the scenes, whether it be on Facebook or Twitter or YouTube or on the ground, the street teams. You know, there are people out there writing letters to editors, whether it's people that are out on the – they're getting in their cars and they're going to visit an official to talk about something, or they're going to a meeting to make their feelings known. All of those people, all those different things working together. We can really use Blog Talk if we really push the shows. So I want to thank you, Mike, for mentioning that. And everybody, go check out the shows. Go listen to the archives. If you get the links to the shows that especially cover Common Core and throw them in the chat room. After we're done here, I'm going to go do Conservatives Coast to Coast in about 10 minutes on the Underground Hard Drive. You can find that at blogtalkradio.undergroundharddrive. I also do a show. I've been teaching our ladies' Bible class for the last 4 years here in Springville, California. We sit around the table, and we've been, for the most part, studying the Old Testament. And a few months ago, I started broadcasting that class on Blog Talk Radio. I do that on this network every Friday morning at 10 o'clock, and I would invite everybody to join us and listen back into the archives. We've just started Abraham. And we're going to finish Abraham this next Friday, and we're walking through the Old Testament looking at the portrait that God paints in the Old Testament of Christ, the Word, and the Church. There's metaphors that are there that point forward to things, and we're having a great time discussing just the basics of the Old Testament, and we do that. And Conservatives Coast to Coast, of course, coming up in here shortly. So with that, as I look across my road, and here I do my shows outside, and I live in a beautiful area, I look across the road, and there's an old airstrip. In fact, it's just a big flat dirt strip that goes across there, and they land little tiny planes there occasionally, and the rest of it's a field with oak trees in it, and across the way, the red buds are budding right now. I can see those in the oak trees and the rocks, and on the other side of the field, there's a mountain. And the sun comes up over that mountain, and the moon comes up over that mountain, and there's rocks, and there's a waterfall on it, and there's cows out in that meadow, and there's all kinds of neat things to sit here and watch. And every day I come out here to this gazebo, and I stand and I look out across the street at God's creation, and that's where this show starts, is with God's creation. This show is here because I have a firm belief that there are basic principles that guide us as we go through our lives that make us a better person, make our society a better society, make our families a better family, make our politicians better politicians, and our judicial people better judicial people. I believe the basic concepts that God gives us and hands to us, you know, we could talk all day long about just, you know, treating people nice, not lying to each other and not stealing from each other. But there's some basic principles that underlie everything, and they underlie what we're talking about right now, Common Core. I've got the right to teach my nieces underneath this roof the basic principles of God, and the school does not have the right to come behind me and say that I'm an idiot and I'm nuts and that I'm wrong. They don't have that right. And we're going to fight for that right. We're going to fight it all the way. I would encourage anybody that's listening live, jump on over with me if I've got any voice left to Conservatives Coast to Coast. We're going to have some special announcements on that show. There's going to be some changes at Conservatives Coast to Coast. And we're going to just discuss the issues of the day. We'll discuss a little bit of Common Core, as it'll be the topic that I start off with is the topic of this show right now that leads into Conservatives Coast to Coast. So, Jennifer Montrose, you rock, girl. You know I love you. You're a good friend, and you're a good patriot, and you're a hard worker, and you're a big part of the battery of what's going on in Alabama. And Stacy and Jenny and Mike, I am so honored to meet you this evening and so glad everybody participated. I think the show went very, very well. We've had some great live listeners. I'm looking forward to seeing how far we can share this. And as we go forward in a couple of weeks, we want you to look for the new show. We don't even have a title yet. We've got some background going on it and some planning going on it, but we don't have it written out yet. But it's going to come, and it's going to be a roundtable discussion just like this. We will have three or four permanent co-hosts that discuss each week, and each week we'll bring in different guests doing different things. There are I've got a big stack already of different organizations that are working really hard to fight Common Core. We've got some great organizations. We didn't get as much into on the amendment process as I wanted to get tonight. We'll cover that at a later point. But there's some great organizations working towards that. There's some great groups of parents and teachers just working together. We've got groups bouncing up in every state. 6 weeks ago when I interviewed on Conservatives Coast to Coast, when I interviewed Orlean, she had on her website and she knew of about six states that were actively fighting this. Over this weekend in the group that Jenny and I are in, we sat and watched that group just over the weekend just keep getting state after state after state. And if I'm not wrong, by now I think we've got to be almost every single state covered and starting to get active. So the momentum's great. The show went a half an hour longer than I was expecting it to, but that's all right. That's the wonderful thing about Blog Talk. We could actually go one more hour if we wanted to. Sometimes we end on the hour and sometimes we don't. So I want to thank everybody that joined us tonight. Again, this is Continuing for Truth Radio on the Blog Talk Radio Network. We do this show every Monday night at 5 o'clock Pacific Time. Politics and religion, don't tell me that I cannot mix them. And we're going to discuss each week politics from the view of being able to say, yeah, I believe in God and I believe in a creator and I believe in the Word of God and I believe there's some really good principles there and I'm not ashamed to say them and I'm not ashamed to include them into my politics. And that's what the show's all about. And then, of course, Friday mornings, one more time, 10 o'clock, our study of the Bible, a study of the Old Testament at our ladies' Bible class and other shows coming up soon. We're working on filling all 7 days of this network eventually. So with that, on behalf of my three beautiful nieces who keep me going every day, we give you an adieu, and we will see you next week.